A warm welcome to all of you that have gathered here again. It is exciting for me to go through this wonderful sermon that I really hadn't realized how much is in it and how it affects me personally. And today's a tough one for me. I'm a professional worrier. Just ask my wife sometime. So it's a sermon that speaks to me in deep ways, and hopefully it can speak to you as well. The Bible mentions fear or worry 366 times. Seems appropriate, this being leap year and everything, that there's a verse for each day of a year that speaks into worry and fear, or speaks about worry and fear. To me, this indicates a significant issue in our church, in us personally. Just think about it a little bit for a little bit. How many of you have been paralyzed by worry at some point in your life? In other words, you've worried so much about something that it caused you not to act on something that you knew you should have done, but the fear of that or the worry about that prevented you from doing that. Just take a little time to think about that. It is pretty significant because, you know, James mentioned in the last song, Faithful Love, he mentioned how coming into communion, how that faithful love is there for us. But, you know, we worry so much sometimes that worry drives a wedge between our relationship with God. And here's how it fleshes out for me. I find myself worrying about how I can solve this issue, and I leave my faithful friend out of the picture. There's, in this passage that I'm going to read today, it's 10 verses long. And I couldn't help but notice that earlier in the chapter, it talked about lust, 4 verses. Not minimizing that, but I'm just saying, I think we need to hear this morning. At least I need to. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Says this, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than them? Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Before I get into this passage, let's just pause for prayer. Lord, as I look at this passage this morning, as we look at this passage on worry, I just pray, Lord, that you would break some of the strongholds that are in our lives with this area of worry. Lord, help us to tap into the faithful love that you give us as a true friend. And as we look at this passage, May we be convicted in our hearts to trust you more. Pray this in your name. Amen. So I'm going to start at verse 25, and I'm just going to look at this verse in detail. So it says, one of the first phrases here, it says, take no thought for your life. I have to smile at that phrase, don't you? Take no thought for your life. Come on, people. You've done that. You do that all the time, right? You take no thought for your life. Let's see what he's trying to say here. Because really, who doesn't plan or worry about their life? How many of you thought about your life this week in some form or another? So what's it actually saying? Take no thought for your life. We all worry about things like finances, our future, politics was mentioned. Right now, that's interesting. Children, I mean, it can be anything. What's in your backyard? It could be our purpose, our relationships with others. It could be fears, disappointments, inadequacies, you name it. We worry about it. On a daily basis, we worry about it. I want to speak into that worry a little bit this morning. In verse 26, it talks about our life and who's in control of our life, or the providence of our life. That's my first point this morning, is the providence of life, or who has control of our lives. Verse 26 says, he's talking about the birds of the air. Okay, so I can enjoy a bird. I love to see birds in the wintertime, cardinals, blue jays, whatever, they're pretty. And God has seen fit to protect them I was going to say something about Cordell, but I won't. God has seen fit to protect them and to nurture them and to take care of them. Are you not better than a bird? Are you not better than a bird? Personally, I think you are. Are you not better than they? Who takes responsibility for who you are? You may think it's you, but I think it's God. You know, God allows circumstances to come into our lives that shape us. We're surrounded by friends or peers that also shape us. Who do you think's in control of that? I'll just give you a real brief example of something that happened in my life. And youth group, forgive me for saying this again, but you may have heard this before. So when I was in high school, I was on Corral with my future wife. I knew Marcy existed, but I wasn't really her friend necessarily. It wasn't that I hated her or anything, but I just wasn't her friend. Well, on a bus trip, on a Corral trip, somebody threw a shoe up into my seat. I was sitting there all by myself, just being a good boy. The shoe came up in my seat, and it had all kinds of knots in it. I had no idea whose shoe it was, but I started to take the knots out of the shoe. And after a bit, Mars came up and sat beside me. The rest is history. So who is in control of your life? I mean, circumstances, maybe. I choose to think a little differently than that. I think it's sort of interesting how God allowed that to happen. Now, that's a good thing. But some of us have had real trying times in our lives. Earth-shattering experiences. Unjust treatment. Abuse. Situations that hurt you deeply. So who takes responsibility for that? That's a tough one. You know, this world is corrupted by sin. And there's things that happen to you that God has allowed. A couple of years ago, I was at a banquet, and the speaker was speaking, and she was talking about a young girl that was actually, her mom actually tried to abort her, and it was unsuccessful. And this woman lived. And as she described the incredible feelings as she grew up of reject and hurt and disappointment, I began to realize that the very speaker I was listening to was this lady. Here was a lady that had faced incredible hurt and rejection. But you know what? Because of God's providence, he saw fit to turn a young woman who was actually, her life was intended to be snuffed out, and took this life where she is ministering to thousands of people. Who has the providence of your life? Some of the hurt that I've felt in my life, some of the areas where I've been wounded the deepest, have become my greatest ministry. And I think it's true for a lot of you guys in this congregation too, where, you know, you've been hurt deeply by something. Don't just worry about that. Allow God to use that hurt and maybe minister other people in that hurt. You know, Christ has done a saving work in our lives. And I don't want you just to hear a pat Christian saying. You hear what I said? He has done a saving work in our lives. Do you understand what that involves? You know, when we worry, sometimes I think we just snuff out what God has came to earth for. He came to die for us, but we continue to worry and we continue to allow circumstances to dictate who we are. And we don't allow Christ to dictate who we are. We don't allow his providence in our lives. St. Augustine wrote this. This was probably in the 600s. He wrote, God loves every person as if there was no one else to love. Have you thought about that lately? Whatever you're dealing with throughout this whole congregation, I want you to hear this one more time. God loves you as if there's no one else in the world to love. We just sang Faithful Love. He's there. And all we do is worry about the situation we're in, at least many times. Do you feel guilty about the way you were brought up? Are you ashamed of your parents? Now, that doesn't include the typical where fathers sometimes just try to make their kids embarrassed. I'm not talking about that. Are you ashamed of your parents? Do you feel guilt about your interests and abilities? And that could be whether you're using your abilities or whether you're not using your abilities. Do you feel guilty? Do you feel guilty about your intelligence, whether it's high or low? Do not worry about your life. God is molding you into the person that he created with a love that has no measure. Let's look a little bit at another point. Purpose of life. What is our purpose, Lord? You know, Norman, you talked directly into that last Sunday, how we worry about our purpose, trying to find that purpose. I just want you to know this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time because I thought you put it so well last week. Know this, whatever situation you find yourself in, God is shaping you. And some of you guys are probably stuck in jobs. I'm looking at this side, but I'm going to look at this side and this side. Some of you are probably stuck in jobs that you think, I just am struggling with this. You know, God has called us faithful to be in every area that we're in. And so purpose in life doesn't mean finding the big home run or finding that incredible purpose that God has called us to. Because if you would ask any older person in this room, I think they would say they're still looking for what God has next for them. But in the midst of that, they've fulfilled God's purpose in many ways already. But I don't think you ever get to the point where you're done totally what God has called you to do, because God uses you your whole life. And I think that's important to understand. Let's talk about provisions of life for a little bit. And verse 28, and why take ye thought for clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And it also talks in verse 31, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? You know, God does provide for our needs. And I don't know how to just say, well, you shouldn't worry about, if God's going to provide for your needs, don't bother going to work. Maybe you can help me with that. That's a tough concept. But I don't think he's saying that. I think he's saying, whatever you do, if you're hung up at your job and you're feeling like it's just a dead-end street, do you go to him and pray about it? Is that your first step? But we'll get into that a little bit later. Right now, we're going to do something a little different. And I'd like you to gather with a couple of people around you, three or four or five people. And I want you to talk about what you worry about the most. Can you be vulnerable with that? So just within your little group, I want you to take some time and talk about what you worry about. So 2 or 3 minutes. Unless you're just talking about weather or politics, it sounds like there's things that you worry about. And for me personally, that gets in the road of Christ's love coming into my life. So let's look at how we deal with worry. Drop down to verse 33. Verse 33 says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So this seeking thing, when I think of that, that takes a lot of time and effort to seek, okay? Let's think about where you've heard that word before. The common game is hide and seek. I remember as a boy going down to my uncle's place and playing some animated games of hide and seek. Okay? Now, when I was it, I really didn't like to be it because the crafty older kids could figure out a way to elude me and I couldn't find them. Usually we played it in the context of kick the can or something like that, but pretty much the same principles apply. You know, if I would just, if I count to 100, you know how it is, 100. If I would count and I open my eyes and there's nobody around, there's some fear that if I go around this corner of the house, everybody would come to the base on this side of the house. You know what I'm talking about? And there was some fear and worry there. But you know what? I had some really persistent brothers and cousins that if I just sat at the base, I could sit there for a couple hours and not see anybody because they were that persistent about hiding themselves. So my idea of seeking is to do it like you come around this side and you look around this corner, but you also got the eyes in the back of your head watching what's coming from that side. That's my idea of seeking. It takes action. It takes time and effort. And you probably all have inward hurts of those times where you were it for about 2 hours and you couldn't find anybody. But you kept seeking. So the first thing that we need to do to combat this worry is to seek. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, casting all your care or casting all your worry on him because, get this, he cares for you. Don't lose sight of that. I don't care what situation you're in. Don't lose sight of Christ's love and care for you. The next thing I want to talk about is our pursuit. It says, but seek ye, what's the next word? First. So in our pursuit, of Christ's righteousness, we need to seek first the kingdom of God. This seeking is not a quick fix, okay? It takes time. It takes effort. It is actually a lifestyle change. And I've been convicted in this matter this week. It's got to be a lifestyle change. So, what you want to find, you can't wait for it to come to you. This passage does not say, but receive the kingdom of God. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God. You know, as a coach, or if you're on a ball team or anything like that, I don't care how good you are, if you don't go out and take the game, there's a good chance that you're going to lose the game. Okay? You may have all the talent in the world, but if you don't go take it, you can't always win the game. So when we talk, I got ahead of myself a little bit here. The first item is pursuit, and that involves seeking. The second is priority, and that's where I want to talk about first. Okay? So let me back up just a little bit there. So the second point is priority. And I want to read some things that caught my eye as I studied this word first. Matthew 5:24 says, first, go and be reconciled to your brother. Matthew 7:5 says, first, take out the plank out of thine own eye. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So this priority of seeking first, I think has to do with our relationship with others and how we view others. How much of your worry comes from a relationship with someone else? I'll just share what I shared in my group. One of the things that worries me is how I come across to people. Okay? Or, am I doing the right thing? That's where worry catches me all the time. I just had a situation this week where I went and I had to talk to somebody about my shortcomings. Wasn't high on my list of things to do. I didn't really feel like I was going to enjoy it at all. But you know what? When I went to that person, I was able to hear them, and I understood their heart. A long time, we had a really good conversation together. So this idea of priority, you need to make priority. If worry is choking your relationship with Christ, look first at your relationship and how you treat other people. Priority means that you place an emphasis that this becomes the number one thing in your life. The seeking becomes the number one priority. So no matter if it feels good, no matter if you want to do it or not, the priority is to do it. The third thing that we need to do in combating worry is to understand what a privilege it is to be part of the kingdom of God. So the phrase says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. This kingdom of God is not in heaven only. I believe the kingdom of God is here on this earth as well. When you have your life, and I think we've all been in places like this before, where you have your life in a place where you know you're in God's will, you've done the right thing, and the feeling that that gives is pretty incredible. It is a privilege to be part of God's kingdom. This is the place where the Spirit is not grieved. It's the place where you know you're in the right, so how can it bring any grief to the Holy Spirit? It also means when we're worrying that, and we don't know what to do, we don't know which way to turn, it means tapping into that power of the Holy Spirit. I've been challenged when I worry to seek, before I try to figure out myself, first I check my heart values, check where my heart's at, and then I go after what Christ is calling me to do. I think that's one of the secrets of just eliminating worry in your life. The fourth thing that we need to do is to understand what purity is. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness is simply right living. You will seek me and find me when you search with your whole heart. God wants us to live a life that is free from worry. Again, I ask the question, so if Christ came to die for me, why are we so caught up with worry? Why are we making his death void by worrying our lives away? Purity is right living. I was looking at references like Galatians 5, 22 and 23 that talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And at the end of that list of things, it says, against such there is no law. You don't even have to worry about it. Because when you love someone, it takes worry away. When I'm in God's will and Christ, and I know that Christ loves me, it takes away my worry. When I have joy, it eliminates my worry. When I have peace, again, it takes away worry. Replace worry with the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and self-control. You know, when we get to know God so well, we know what pleases him. We get to his heart, or God gets to our heart, is a better way to put it. We know what pleases God. And also, when we walk in the light that God gives us. You know, I will admit it. There have been many times in my life that the light of God was pretty dim. It was just a small thing. But in looking back, that light was there. Okay? You know, if that light is in a distance and you start going toward the light, you start seeking that light, as you draw closer to the light, that light starts to get bigger. Okay? As you seek God and eliminate worry, that light that may just have been look like a pen flashlight in the distance becomes a huge floodlight. This whole idea of living in the kingdom of God, we think sometimes that Christianity can be a burden, but I've been made more aware of the people I rub shoulders with that it's not a burden. I've seen what burdens are, where I've had employees that had children at age 15 or age 17. I've seen them become hooked on prescription drugs. So don't tell me a Christian life is burdensome. I saw their life. I see their life. I see what a train wreck it can become. God wants us to walk without worry in his kingdom of God. In conclusion, I'd just like to say this. When was the last time that you worried? Was it this morning or yesterday? I tend to be a worrier. But God has really challenged me this week as I studied. My mind has been drawn to Philippians 4:6, and it says this: Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Worry is something that can consume us, and I've seen it. I've seen people consumed by worry. Actually, I think I've been consumed by worry in my life already. So as we think of pursuit, priority, privilege, and purity, let's pursue a lifestyle change in how we process things. Let's make it a priority to repent from the worry that paralyzes us, realizing what a privilege it is to be part of God's kingdom and how purity and righteousness can greatly reduce and eliminate worry from our lives. I don't have all the answers on worry. Okay? Because tomorrow I may get myself in a situation where I could tend to worry about it. But my prayer is for myself that when a situation comes up that I can't handle, that I would just go to the Father. I would seek his face and seek his kingdom. And that's my prayer for you all as well. Let's pray. Lord, the subject of worry is something that affects each one of us. And Lord, help us to tap into your Holy Spirit's power to help us to make wise decisions, to love others that really need love, to spread joy to those that are just lost in darkness, to spread peace when there's conflict. Lord, I pray that your kingdom, God's kingdom, could be a part of this church. And as we deal with struggles, you would just make yourself very real to us, and you would just wrap your arms around those that are hurting. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to seek your face when we're faced with situations that are beyond our control. May we walk toward your light. Pray this in your name. Amen.